Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome back to the Selection Sunday special, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig and Chad Boger are running the show. We're going to hear from, in just a minute, we're going to hear from Seth Davis and Clark Kellogg as they break down the NCAA tournament, but I'm going to run through the bracket here real quick. Before you do that, in case you're out and about and you haven't had a chance to hear the brackets, fill out the brackets, see the brackets, whatever. So I'm going to run through it here. I'll start with the Midwest region, which ends here in Kansas City. Midwest will be the 1 seed North Carolina against Iona. Utah State is an 8 seed against the 9 seed Washington Huskies. Auburn is a 5 seed, taking on the 12 seed New Mexico State. Kansas, 4 seed in the Midwest, taking on the 13 seed Northwestern squad. So Jayhawks fans with a chance to end up in Kansas City, but you'll have to start in Salt Lake City. In the Midwest, Houston's the 3 seed against the 14 seed Georgia State squad. Wofford, the 7 seed against Seton Hall, is the 10 seed, and Kentucky is the 2 seed, taking on Abilene Christian. That is the Midwest. Up to the South, Virginia gets the 1 seed against the 16 seed Gardner Webb. Ole Miss is the 8 seed, taking on the 9 seed Oklahoma Sooners. Wisconsin, the 5 seed, taking on the Oregon Ducks. Kansas State gets the 4 seed in the South against UC Irvine, and that game will be in... So Kansas State fans will be headed to San Jose if you can make the trip to California. That's right in the backyard for UC Irvine. Villanova, the 6 seed in the South against the 11 seed St. Mary's Gales. Purdue, the 3 seed against the 14 seed Old Dominion squad in the South. Cincinnati, the 7 seed, taking on the 10 seed from Iowa. And finally in the South, the 2 seed is Tennessee, taking on Colgate, which comes in as the 15 seed. Over in the East, Duke is the 1 seed. No surprise there. They'll take on the play-in winners of North Carolina Central and North Dakota State. VCU is the 8 seed in the East, taking on the 9 seed Central Florida squad. Mississippi State gets the 5 seed against the 12 seed Liberty squad. Virginia Tech is the 4 seed, taking on the 13 seed from St. Louis, which gets in for the first time since 2014. Maryland is the 6 seed in the East, taking on the play-in winner between Belmont and Temple. LSU, the 3 seed in the East, taking on the 14 seed squad from Yale. Louisville is the 7 seed in the East, taking on the 10 seed Gophers of Minnesota. Michigan State gets the 2 seed in the East, taking on the 15 seed from Bradley. One more bracket to go out in the West. Gonzaga gets the 1 seed. No surprise there. They'll take on the play-in winner between Farley Dickinson and Prairie View A&M. Syracuse is the 8 seed, taking on the Baylor Bears out of the Big 12, which gets in as a 9 seed. Marquette, the 5 seed, takes on the 12 seed Murray State squad. Florida State, the 4 seed in the West, taking on the 13 seed from Vermont. Buffalo is the 6 seed. They take on the play-in winner between Arizona State and St. John's. Texas Tech out of the Big 12 is the 3 seed in the West. They'll take on the 4 seed from Northern Kentucky. Nevada is the 7 seed, taking on the 10 seed from Florida in the West. And Michigan locks down the 2 seed. They'll take on the 15-seeded squad from Montana in the West. We're going to go to the phones now, and I believe Stan Weber is joining us. Is that who is there? Who is that? Okay, sorry about that. I just saw the phone line blinking here. So that is your complete bracket. I need to take a deep breath. So while we do that, we're going to check in with our friends at CBS, Greg Gumbel, Seth Davis, and Clark Kellogg as they break down the 2019 NCAA bracket.
through the brackets one more time. The blue numbers to the right of the team's names are their overall tournament seed. Let's begin in the upper left, where Duke is the number one overall seed, Clark, in the East.
Yeah, you know, you look at Duke, and I think Duke gets to Minneapolis. They're an outstanding team playing at a high level. You take a look at some teams that I think could surprise. I like Liberty. I love the Liberty Flames. I like their balance. I like their three-point shooting and their defense. Mississippi State has been hot and cold defensively. They've got high-octane offense, but I like Liberty to grab an upset there in that 5-12 matchup.
And we talk about overall seeding mattering. You know, Michigan State being the 6 instead of the 5 means that they are able to be paired with the number one overall seed. And I think those two teams are on a collision course for the Elite Eight. I think Virginia Tech is a team to watch, probably because they've already beaten Duke this season from the same conference, getting their point guard back. Of course, Duke did not have Zion Williamson for that game. But, you know, I'm the upset guy.
Yes, you're
yeah, you are.
I'm normally very tame about picking upsets on television, but I'm going to give you Liberty to come out of that 12-5 game. The 12-5 spot is the one where over 75% of the NCAA tournaments you see the 12 beating a 5. I think that's what happens in here. But I also think that Belmont is going to beat Maryland and move on as well.
All right, let's move down the left side of the bracket, which is headlined by Gonzaga, the one seed in this region and number 4 overall.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Gonzaga gets to Minneapolis as well. I love the balance of this team. Getting Killian Tilly back should be helpful to them. Buffalo's a team. That 6 seed is well-earned and well-deserved. They'll be challenged by whoever comes out of that Arizona St. John's game, but a Buffalo-Texas Tech matchup is one I'm looking forward to. Murray State takes out Marquette.
Pick out
John Morant. Look at you!
Yes.
Picking
yes.
the 12 over a 5. I'll be a little bit more tame in this one. I like the Florida Gators to get by Nevada. That's going to be my upset special there. Florida lost a lot of close games in the SEC.
Yes.
So they control
and they
pace,
defend.
And they're a good defensive team.
All right, let's jump to the top of the right side of the bracket, where Virginia is the number 2 overall seed and the team to beat in the South region as we start, Clark.
UC Irvine is the team that I like the best, the Anteaters, to surprise Kansas State.
Are you saying Virginia's not going to make it to Minneapolis?
No, I had to be short this time. I only had a 10-second shot clock.
You're never going to be short.
He's never going to be short. I'm the short one here. Okay, I'm going to take for my upset special. I do like UC Irvine, not only to win that one, but I think they're a Sweet 16 team. And also Oregon is maybe the hottest team in the country right now. And I think they're going to beat a beat-up Wisconsin squad in that first
round. And finally, we slide down to the lower right, where North Carolina is the 1 seed and 3rd overall.
And I've got Houston coming out of that region. If there's a team that could upset the apple cart, the Iowa State Cyclones have played really well to winning that Big 12 championship, but I've got Houston making their way to Minneapolis.
Greg wants me to take Iona to destroy whatever's left of my credibility. I'm not going to do it, Greg Gumbel, but I will give you the Aggies of New Mexico State. I love teams that win. Winning is a habit. I know Auburn coming in hot, winning the SEC tournament, but I think the Aggies, I think Kansas is limping to the finish line, and I think the Aggies have a great chance to beat the Jayhawks and be a Sweet 16 team.
Final Four?
My Final Four team. Well, I got out of the East. We're going to have the Duke Blue Devils. And then they're going to beat Michigan State in the regional final there. In the West, I'd like Gonzaga to beat Texas Tech. In the South region, I'm going with the Purdue Boilermakers. Purdue, please, they haven't been in the Final Four since 1980. I'm begging you, get there. I think they will. And then Kentucky. And, of course, we deserve a Duke-Kentucky championship game. The Blue Devils are your champion.
All 1 seeds other than the Houston Cougars. And I like Gonzaga to win it all.
Wow.
Well, we already discussed some double-digit seeds that could win. We'll see what turns out after the round of 64. There's Bracket Busters. There's last year's Loyola team. Figure out who the heck is going to turn up a Cinderella this year. We really don't know, at least not yet.
Not yet.
All right. We had an hour to reflect on the bracket. We will get about doing the business of the tournament. Coming up this week, we hope you will join us. Thanks for joining us here on the Selection Show. Selection Sunday coverage continues at the top of the hour over on CBS Sports Network with NCAA March Madness Bracket Breakdown. That's at 7 Eastern, only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Tonight on CBS begins.
All right, that was the CBS team breaking down the NCAA brackets. That was Greg Gumbel, Seth Davis, and Clark Kellogg. I was surprised Seth Davis... They're trying to pick upsets. Seth Davis picked UC Irvine to knock off K-State in the opening round in the South.
Also, I think one of them picked, I think it was Seth picked, didn't would say that Kansas was probably going to go down here. in the second round, maybe?
The second round against New Mexico State, who
he had New Mexico State beating
Auburn.
Really? Pretty ambitious.
I mean, Auburn just made it to the SEC championship game and won convincingly. Okay, and you know what? That's the fun thing about this tournament. You take some flyers, you take some risks, you have some fun. You don't have to be all serious all the time. And you know what? If you don't put yourself out there once in a while, people quit paying attention to you. You can't take the chalk all the way through the tournament. Now, the early rounds, the first and second round, maybe even the third round, is a good time to pick your upsets, to have some fun, to be able to walk around the office and say, well, I picked UC Irvine, I'm the only guy. And hang on 1 second here. What's up? Okay, we're going to go over to Manhattan, Kansas right now, speaking of upsets, and hear from Wildcats head coach Bruce Weber.
Migraine headaches, bronchitis, anything you can think of. And these guys, their toughness, their resilience is unbelievable. In our league, you know, I was disappointed, to be honest, that we only got six in. You know, you go 1 through 10. Our number 10 just beat our number two, Texas Tech, who people just had them as three in the selection. So our depth of our league was really good. Our guys were so consistent. We lost our first two games without Dean Wade and Cam Stokes in the league, and then we went 14-2 the rest of the way. So that it's pretty impressive. They have some toughness. We got great leadership. Barry Brown, you know, one of the best defenders, one of the hardest working kids in college basketball. And, you know, with his leadership, his toughness, it kind of propels everybody else.
Bruce, congratulations on the season, John Thompson. Let me ask you, Coach, you know, tell me the story. What happened at that player, when that player Stokes at the press conference in the chair? What's the chair story about?
Oh, I sat down with, or Barry Brown was in first. And then I sat down and I kind of missed my chair, you know, kind of didn't get seated. And Barry Brown said, Coach, you need a bigger chair. And I just said, well, that you think I have a fat ass or something. and just, you know, we got good kids. We've been around them. So when Cam came on to the press conference, Barry was just still laughing. He said, what happened? He said, Coach, you said he had a fat ass. So, you know, just they were just a fun thing. So they're characters. They enjoy each other. We have a great group. We get along really well. Our whole program, we have just good kids there, great staff.
And that's what I was impressed with, the relationship that you have with your players. And that's the thing that indicates the fact that you have that, and that translates on the basketball court. And you need to be commended for that, to laugh at it. I would have gotten angry as hell if they had said it to me. what do you anticipate as being your biggest challenge with your team in moving on in the tournament?
Well, I think just rebounding will be a key, especially if Dean Wade cannot play. You know, he was our leading rebounder. You got to make up for that. You know, just we're really good defensively. If you watch this, we play really hard. We turn people over. We turned Iowa State over the other night 17 times. We just didn't finish the game. And then they go take it to Kansas, and they're up, you know, 19, 20 points and you know, late in the second half. So, we do a lot of things well. That rebounding is key. And then sharing the basketball. When we share the basketball and we play as a team and we have assists, we're really good. That means we're moving, passing, you know, pushing the ball, getting it out in transition. We can be pretty good efficiency on the offensive efficiency also.
Fourth fewest points allowed in the nation. Kansas State at 59.1. The tournament starts against UC Irvine on Friday in San Jose. Bruce Weber, the head coach. Thanks for joining us, Coach.
Thank you. It'll be a tough battle against the Anteater.
Yes.
That's
in all fairness, they do have the best nickname in all of college sports.
Yes, there's no doubt about that. Hopefully we can overcome that.
Yes,
thanks,
sir.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thanks,
Coach. They do win.
All right, that is K-State coach Bruce Weber, courtesy of our friends at Westwood One, who are interviewing a bunch of coaches today. And K-State will take on the Anteaters of UC Irvine. Bruce Weber, just look, even if you're not a K-State fan, I'm a fan of everybody because I didn't go to K-State or KU or Mizzou. I went to UMKC, so I can be a fan of everybody, right? Bruce Weber, just I feel better. I feel happier after I listened to Bruce Weber do an interview because I think he's he's generally a super nice dude. I've had the chance to talk to him a handful of times since he's been at K-State. I think he's genuine, and he can laugh at himself. He just relayed the story about the Big 12 tournament when he went to go sit down, and I think he missed the chair or something, and he said, maybe I'll need a bigger chair, and one of his players said, Coach, I think you need a bigger chair, and Bruce Weber turned to him and said, are you saying I have a fat ass? And it happened right on the podium here in Kansas City, and then the one player had to tell the other player what he just said. And it was just a comical moment, and Bruce Weber can poke fun at himself. But they've got UC Irvine, and we just heard Seth Davis from CBS a few minutes ago pick UC Irvine to upset K-State in the opening round. And I'm just going back to the UC Irvine notes that I made this morning. Won the Big West Conference, won the Big West Tournament.
They have 30 wins.
30 wins with 5 losses. They have wins over Texas A&M and St. Mary's. Say what you will, St. Mary's is in the tournament. They just knocked off Gonzaga. They did lose a game to Butler this season. But UC Irvine, to finish this season, how about 16 straight wins, including 2 games in overtime? That's pretty stout.
It's madness.
It's March, and it's madness. Who would have thought? By the way, are you going to fill out the bracket on 810WHB.com? Are you going to fill out one?
Am I allowed to as an employee?
I think it's a friendly comp. Well, I mean, if you
I think you
won,
win if prizes.
If you won,
I'm pretty
you
sure
would.
You win prizes.
Well, I know you couldn't win the prizes if you won. So maybe you can't enter. Well, we'll have to ask Chad. He's here. He makes the rules.
I think he just left. But
oh, okay,
I'll fill out a bracket though. Do a little pool with maybe some of my friends or something.
Yeah. We used to have one over at Metro Sports that was very competitive. Joe Novacek, who you know, was always in the office pool. We'd do it through, I think we did it through ESPN.com. We'd come up with a funny group name, and then you'd come up with a funny name for your team. And I was always Johnny Hammersticks, which comes from an old YouTube video that you cannot play on the air.
I'm sure it's nice. I'm sure it's nice and funny.
Yeah, it is funny. It's not filthy. It's just you can't air it on the radio.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some insensitive words
you
on
can.
There.
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't be a good idea. But I, you know what? See, what happens is when I go to fill out my bracket, I'm going to have all these things in my head that other people have said. So now when I'm filling out, I'm trying to pick between Kansas and UC Irvine, I'm going to be thinking, well, Seth Davis thinks UC Irvine is going to get the upset there. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Look, these guys have to take flyers, right? You can't take chalk every time.
You got to make your splash here and there.
Right. The 13 over 4s, I'm not that comfortable with it. The 12 over 5s, I'm gold on those.
I think from the national broadcast, what I was more surprised about, Clark Kellogg had Houston in the Final Four.
Yeah!
Not saying that they won't have a decent tournament, but after watching that game against Cincinnati today,
oh boy,
that definitely made, I mean, not saying that Houston from that game will define the rest of their tournament. You know, their NCAA tournament, but
right.
it is a little concerning, but I guess we'll see. I mean, Clark Kellogg has a lot of faith in Kelvin Sampson and Houston and Corey Anderson, I believe, on their guard, so we'll see what happens.
Well, for Houston to get to the Final Four, okay, so they get Georgia State first. It shouldn't be a problem. Then you'd be looking at, for Houston, a second-round matchup with either Iowa State or Ohio State. Winnable game. And then you'd be looking at probably Kentucky for a chance to go to the Elite Eight.
I don't like that matchup for Houston.
I don't either. So that's kind of going out on a look at the other. I was talking about the fours. If K-State, Seth Davis picked UC Irvine to win that game, I'm going to look at the other four over fours and 13s. Kansas, Northeastern. I wouldn't pick against Kansas there. Over in the West, the 4 and 13 is Florida State and Vermont. Okay, Vermont is the 13 over a 4 seed Florida State. Florida State just made it to the ACC championship game. I don't think I'm picking Vermont there, but they've had good tournament runs before. I wouldn't be all that shocked. And then the other 4-13, the one in the East is Virginia Tech at 4 against 13 St. Louis.
The old Billikens.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know. I think these 12-5s look a little more dangerous than the 13-4s.
I do like the 12-5s.
But that's what everyone says every year. I think everyone like kind of falls in love with the 12-5.
Yep.
And usually, you know, you could count on it maybe 50%. Like,
I think it's 50%.
50% or close to that.
Right. So let's, since we haven't had a lot of time to break this down, we've been carrying interviews and guests. So let me roll through the 12-5s because everybody loves the 12-5s, right? It's what everybody talks about. So let me roll through the 12-5s. In the East, 5 seed is Mississippi State. 12 seed is Liberty. Liberty's been hot lately.
I don't know much about Liberty either.
I've not seen Liberty
much. I don't. That's kind of a toss-up for me. I've seen Mississippi State play a few times. Ben Howland's our coach. Yep. He's been there before. He's been to the tournament. You know, he's had success in the NCAA tournament. Granted, he doesn't have, you know, Russell Westbrook's and Drew Collison's and, you know, Kevin Love's. So,
yeah. So the Mississippi State Liberty, I wouldn't feel great picking Liberty in that one. So I'll wait and see. I'll probably go chalk on that one. In the South, the 5 versus 12. Wisconsin's the 5. Oregon's the 12. Oregon just won 4 games in 4 days to win the Pac-12
tournament. Like Oregon in that matchup for me. I think Wisconsin kind of is a slow it down, you know, inside team. Oregon's kind of, you know, transition. You know, Dana Altman likes to get out and transition, run, score a lot of points. You know, and they're hot, of course, winning the Pac-12 title. I kind of like Oregon in that matchup.
I think I do, too. I'm still going to think about it for a couple of days, but I think I like Oregon there. Absolutely. In the Midwest, the 5 versus 12. Auburn's the 5. New Mexico State's the 12. And Seth Davis picked the Aggies of New Mexico State over Auburn. I would have a hard time pulling the trigger on that one.
Sticking with Auburn in that game just because, you know, there's a lot of momentum coming off that Tennessee win. Granted, I don't know. You just never know in the tournament, but from what I've seen eye test wise, with Auburn and in this, you know, SEC tournament, I'm a guy that likes to roll with the teams that are hot, like coming into the tournament. And if you win your conference tournament, usually I like going with you.
The final 5 versus 12 is in the West. Marquette's the 5, Murray State's the 12. I could be easily talked into Murray State on that one. Easy.
That might be one of the more exciting matchups in terms of guard play. Marcus Howard versus Ja Morant. Yeah. That is going to be a fun matchup. And two guys that are definitely going to be playing in the league.
Yep. Two potential lottery picks.
So it's I haven't seen I've watched Murray State, but I haven't watched as much Marquette either, just because I don't watch as much Big East basketball as I used to now that they're, you know, with all the conference realignment and stuff. But I don't know. I'd have to think about that one.
Okay. Well, last year we saw the first time ever a 16 seed beat a 1. UMBC, Maryland, Baltimore County, knocking out Virginia.
Does Virginia lose again in the first round?
Well, that's what I was going to go through. Is there another chance to see? Do we see that again this season? I highly doubt it. It's happened in the last history. So, Virginia, a 1 against Gardner-Webb. I don't see
that's Gardner-Webb's first time ever in the NCAA tournament. So, no.
Wow. So, I thought Gardner-Webb had been in there before. So, I'm not picking against Virginia in that one. In the Midwest, number 1, North Carolina against the 16, Iona. I would not pick Iona in that one. In the West, Gonzaga's the 1 seed. They'll face the winner of Farley Dickinson and Prairie View A&M. I'm not picking against Gonzaga in that one. And then in the East, Duke is the 1 seed, taking on the winner of North Carolina Central, North Dakota State. I'm not going against Duke in that one either. So I'm not seeing an avenue. But would I have picked UMBC last year? Absolutely not. But I don't see these teams knocking out 1 seeds this year.
No. And I would say this. I tend to like the ones this year.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah, Virginia, they lost that game in the tournament, the ACC tournament.
I just don't like how they play. I don't think their style of play fits well with the NCAA tournament in terms of limit possessions, you know, possessions per game, you know, take it down to like 1 second left in the shot clock. Yes, they do have a great defensive team. They play really nice pack line defense. But as we've seen in the past, you have to be able to score the ball and, you know, be able to make shots to win this tournament or at least advance far. If you have, let's say Virginia has, you know, a great defensive night, but then you know, whoever they're playing has a guy that is just going off, or a team going off. Let's say, you know, go, you know, 9 for 20 from three, or, you know, 10 for 22. Like, it's due to happen at some point. And you have to have guys that can score at a high volume. And I don't think Virginia has that.
Well, the great thing about this bracket is everybody can disagree and everybody will disagree. You don't like Virginia? Seren Petro said he might pick him to win the whole thing. So that's why we have the contest. We have the bracket contest. Who's the most right, at least for this three-week stretch? All right, we're coming up on a timeout, and I'm just going to double-check. We have Stan Weber coming up next. Sam Weber, former K-State quarterback, also on the K-State radio network for football and basketball, and a great friend of Sports Radio 810 WHB and somebody I worked with for a long time in television. So Stan Weber joins us next. We're talking Selection Sunday on this special. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to this Selection Sunday special, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig has been here since 6:30 in the morning as we enter the final half hour of our special. Been on here for almost 4 hours now.
Still standing.
You're the champion, man, after this one. I hope you go out and treat yourself to something special on this St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yeah. Irish car bombs. Irish car bombs. Let's go.
I wasn't going to say that on the air, but okay. We now welcome in our good friend Stan Weber, who I had the pleasure of working with for many years in television. We always enjoy talking college basketball, college football, NFL, whatever it is. Stan Weber knows as much as just about anybody else. Stan, I was thinking about this today. When Selection Sunday was on TV when I was a kid, it was before, you know, the computers and the internet. So you had to take, like, the front page of the Kansas City Star would have a bracket on there, and I would sit in front of the television set and I would hand write out the entire bracket and hope that I got everything right so I wouldn't have to erase it and tear the paper and start all over again. But this is, I love it. It's the biggest event in which nothing is actually decided.
Great to talk to you, Brad. Very exciting to be a part of it, obviously. Something you can't take for granted, being in the NCAA tournament. And around here we have both KU and K-State, so it's going to be really exciting. You talk about stories of the old days and how it worked. The NCAA used to be based in Kansas City. And
right.
The selection committee would be down at what used to be the Hyatt Regency Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And the Big Eight tournament would finish over at Kemper Arena. So to tell you my little story, you know, not when I was a kid, I understood writing it down and trying to do it fast. I've lived that as well. And how about this? The Big Eight tournament used to be one of the last tournaments to end on Sunday, okay? And then when it got to the Big 12, I don't think Roy Williams liked that. He usually tried to lose on Saturday with KU, so they didn't have to play in that final. But the game would end over there at Kemper Arena, and then we would, as media members, race over to the Hyatt. And you can tell it was a different time without social media and fast-moving information. Before the selection show would start, within a half hour of when the selection show was going to start, they handed us the brackets.
Wow.
They handed us the brackets before they went on TV. Because it's right there.
Right.
They weren't worried about it.
Right.
You know? But once in a while, someone would be, you know, associated with a team, Mizzou or whoever, you know, Oklahoma, and you might go find a phone, you know, no cell phones. You might
right.
go find a phone and make your long distance call and try to get back and go, hey, we're in the tournament and we're going to play so-and-so. And you might be able to get the information back 10 minutes earlier than when the TV show came on. So there are all kinds of stories about the intrigue and the excitement getting ready for the announcement. And it's pretty cool that when you're sitting there watching that, you know that you're watching it with all the coaches in the country, all the teams. I mean, where else do you know who all the people watching with you are? Everyone in college basketball associated with it is wondering, are they in? What seed are they going to be? What day are they going to play? Where are they going to go? And most importantly, who do they play in their bracket early and then even later? So it's a ton of fun. And nowadays what's great is the information doesn't flow slowly. Before we get the 10 o'clock news tonight, Brad, I fully expect we'll have all the times laid out. And I tell you, that's when my excitement level jumps up three times. When you say, 11 o'clock on Thursday, we're going to be watching so-and-so. Now, what time does KU play on Thursday? What time does K-State play on Friday? I can't wait to hear that.
We're speaking with Stan Weber here on our Selection Sunday special. It's brought to you by the Sports Medicine Performance Center at the University of Kansas Health System, Shawnee Mission Ford, and Kansas City Asphalt. Stan, let's start with K-State, obviously with you. I think well-deserved to get a 4 seed, taking on the 13 seed UC Irvine. If anything, if there's anything to be disappointed about for K-State fans, it's that they're in the South region. They'll go to San Jose, and if they make it far enough, they would go to Lexington, Kentucky, and not Kansas City. Good but the bad with the seating and the location for K-State.
Yeah, it's unique that Kansas City is a site for the regional finals. You know, that doesn't happen very often, so you can kind of get your hopes up, but that's so unusual. I think you just got to stay focused on being in the NCAA tournament and what can you do. K-State was in the South region last year, and things worked out well for them. But first of all, you got to pat Bruce Weber and his staff and this basketball team on the back, because they're picked in preseason to finish second in the Big 12. They tied for first place. I did a very nice job. And with this number 4 seed that they earned, and that includes, you know, a loss at Tulsa and a loss at Texas A&M, which really hurt K-State's math, you know, on that new net that they keep track of.
Right.
K-State had those two losses where the offense didn't work very well. But other than that, all said and done, they end up with a number 4 seed. And to put that into perspective, in 2013, when Bruce Weber had a Big 12 championship team, they also were a number 4 seed. 1988, when they made it to the Elite Eight under Lon Kruger, Mitch Richmond, and those guys, they were a 4 seed. So that's the second best seed K-State's ever achieved. They had a number 2 seed in 2010. So good work. You know, a 4 seed may not seem like a number 1 seed or what we may hope from a Big 12 team, Texas Tech getting the best with a number 3. But a number 4 seed is good work by the Wildcats.
And they will, the Wildcats will head to San Jose, and they will be limping as they get there. And I think every team, it seems like most teams have an important player with a major injury right now. And Dean Wade, once again, is that player. Talked to a couple of folks who cover the team, and they kind of get the vibe that he might not be able to play at all in this tournament, especially being on crutches in Kansas City. Do you have a kind of a gut feeling about Dean Wade and possibly being available if they get to the Elite Eight, or knock on wood for Wildcats fans, they get to the Final Four?
Well, Brad, you know me very well, both personally and in our sports business, et cetera. I'm a conservative guy, you know, and I've been around athletic injuries a long time. And you just can't snap the fingers and say, oh, they're healthy, just because you wish they were. So I would go into this week, and Bill Self says it best, you're really only worried about a two-game tournament. That's big work. If you win two games and you get into the Sweet 16, you're talking about the next week, then my optimism might go up a little bit. But right now, I think you've got to have the mentality that if Dean Wade becomes available, that's a bonus, that you can't count on that. And K-State did okay in the NCAA tournament without him. Love to have Dean Wade. I think K-State would be a monster with Dean Wade, obviously. But K-State played well over at Sprint Center without Dean Wade. They're a hard team to deal with when they got everyone working. The guy I would wonder about, though, is Xavier Sneed. Xavier Sneed was slowed in that Iowa State game. Mm-hmm. Brad, when Xavier Sneed was unable to go for a little while in the first half, Iowa State dominated the game. In the second half, when he sat down on the bench, kind of holding his stomach or whatever he's looking at, wherever he's feeling a little pain, maybe a lot of pain, K-State is not the same without Xavier Sneed. So you can say, hey, we hate not having Dean Wade if they don't, but you really need everybody else on board. Cardi Ajayi showed you that he's back and ready to roll, even with some stuff on his hands, some tape, et cetera. But I think Xavier Sneed, this extra rest of maybe not winning and playing on Saturday, also not playing until Friday, every day of rest makes me feel a lot better about Xavier Sneed. And with Dean Wade, I just say, hey, if he makes it back, that's great news. But how much are you going to count on him being able to play big minutes? Probably don't factor it in and just say, let's get ready without him. And then the next week's a whole different tournament, as Bill Self would talk about. Then maybe you can get your optimism up. But I, right now, would say, how can K-State win without Dean Wade? And if they get him in there, watch out, UC Irvine. You're going to see a bad, bad boy on the court. Because Dean Wade, when he was playing in that last couple of weeks, Brad, was incredible. I mean, he dominated until he re-hurt his foot in that last game in the regular season against Oklahoma. I mean, dominated with 4 minutes left in the first half, he already had 9 points, 6 rebounds, a couple of block shots, and a steal. And something happened, and he didn't have many more stats the rest of the game. But, man, he was playing great. It would be great to have him. But you can't worry about what you don't have right now. You got to get the work.
Well, and Bruce Weber's been there, well, both last year and this year, and we know what K-State did last year, knocking off Kentucky and making a great great run. You're listening to the Selection Sunday special here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're speaking with Stan Weber with the NCAA tournament brackets out now. We're talking K-State and UC Irvine, and I heard Bruce Weber on an interview just a little while ago on Westwood One, which we carried here on WHB. And despite the injuries, I think Bruce Weber has the right kind of personality to get a team to loosen up about it and not focus on, as you said, not focus on what you don't have, focus on what we do have, and get yourself ready mentally to go into this tournament.
Well, Bruce Weber is the right guy. It's his 13th NCAA tournament. For K-State, it's the third straight. You just put that into perspective for a second. You know how everyone loved Frank Martin, Brad. I mean, it's no doubt. I love Frank Martin as well. But
yep.
Frank Martin's best run was three straight tournaments. Bruce Weber just matched that. Bruce Weber is going to his fifth tournament as a K-State coach. That's second in K-State history only to Jack Hartman, who went to 7 NCAA tournaments. So he has experience. He has experience with K-State, and he obviously has experience with this group and what buttons he needs to push. So it's a very good scenario. There's a lot of veteran players on this basketball team, and they're used to working through adversity. And in the NCAA tournament, you're going to have some of that. I mean, in game, you got 40 minutes of playing time, and your season's over if things don't go well. So you've got to be able to keep your composure and fight through some negative times. If you go through a scoring drought or if someone gets in foul trouble, whatever it is, you got to keep your composure and fight it out to the end. And this Wildcat team has been very good at that all year long. Bruce Weber is wired to do that, and his staff. And with Barry Brown leading the way and Kamau Stokes, those guys seem to be able to regroup at halftime and be a better team in the second half. All things that are positive. But, hey, UC Irvine is a team that we know something about. You may not know it if you haven't heard about it already, but K-State actually played UC Irvine, the Anteaters, last year in regular season. I was doing that game, obviously, in Manhattan. And what was interesting about these two teams, Brad, is that every player who played for UC Irvine, all starters and their main backups, are back this year. This is a team that's reloaded. They finished second in their conference last year. They usually win the conference. This year they dominated, obviously, with a 30-5 record. But K-State's also got all their players back. So these exact players battled it out last year. I can't tell you how fast they're now looking at the video from last year's game
right.
to look at everything that they can figure out about the guys. But you rarely get that. You know, when you play a team 1 year, they're not usually the same. But they're led by Max Hazard. The reason why I got to mention him, because, you know, we don't need to mention every player tonight, but you realize that his grandfather was Walt Hazard.
Really?
John Wooden's National Player of the Year. So you talk about some bloodlines. You want to get some respect. There's a lot of national people we heard on CBS right away picking some upsets. You know, UC Irvine over K-State. Well, Max Hazard is a big, big bloodline guy. You know, multiple-year starter. They've got a Jonathan Galloway, who's a 3-year starter, who's a 6'10 big guy who blocks shots, has a high field goal percentage. You know, just truly a big man inside. So they're a very good team. Their coach, Russell Turner, is in his 9th season there. They're used to winning in that conference, the Big West Conference. But usually they'd say, when UC Irvine would come up, I would go, who? What do we need to do to start studying them? Roll tape, you know. But then I started chuckling, going, wait a second. We played
We've already seen them
last year. And then I went down the lineup and I go, they're all back. Both K-State and UC Irvine. So get the tape out. Ben Boyle and me on TV doing the game last year. Go get that. I don't know if it's on YouTube or whatever. We might have said some smart things about these two teams, not knowing they're going to be playing in the NCAA tournament.
Well, they got, as you mentioned, they got all their players back, experienced players. They won 30 games. They have wins over Texas A&M and St. Mary's, and may not be the greatest, but St. Mary's is in the tournament. They knocked off Gonzaga to win their conference tournament championship. And when I was going through the numbers earlier today, Stan, the one that jumped off the page to me, and look, they may not be in the greatest conference in the world. I don't care which conference you're in. If you finish your season winning 16 straight games, including 2 overtime games, I think that says a lot about how hard your team's willing to play.
Yeah, and I do think that really matters, and it's one of the things that makes them most dangerous, because I just talked to you about K-State's perseverance and ability to fight through games, right? Teams that know how to win are really hard to beat. And that's the thing. You know, you just said it. 16 straight wins to end the year. They've won 19 of their last 20 games. When they are used to winning, they just don't lack belief. They just keep thinking, I'm going to make the shot. Oh, we're down by five. That's okay. Just execute on this possession, and we're going to be fine. So I do think you're going to find a hard-minded team on both sides because of their experience, knowledge of each other. And K-State's hard as a rock, no doubt about it, one of the best in the country about doing things well at the end of ball games and never giving up, coming back from the greatest comeback in K-State history, 21 points down against West Virginia. K-State turned it around and won that game. So we know that about K-State, but I think UC Irvine will be dangerous. The Anteaters are dangerous, and it's something that I look at. When you're looking at smaller-level teams in football or basketball, one of the things that's important is, do they know how to win? And these guys obviously do. And it's going to be in the state of California, West Coast time, all that kind of stuff. You know, a slight advantage here and there. It's not like their campus is close by. I think they're 400 miles away from San Jose. So it's not going to be like their crowd's rocking the house against K-State. It'll truly just be an NCAA tournament environment. But you pointed out, that's the first thing I think you do want to look at and say, okay, 16 straight wins. These guys are pretty good.
Well, Stan, good luck and safe travels this week to San Jose. And if any K-State fans are disappointed about not playing a little closer to home and you feel like treating yourself to a little spring break trip, San Jose is a pretty good spot to go to. I think you'll have fun.
As bad as this winter has been, you know, anywhere in the NCAA tournament's fine. But if you're going to go a long ways away, going a long ways away to a warm spot is a little different. It's a little better than it's been in most years. So we'll see. And then I think Louisville, Kentucky, if K-State can get back there, get to the Sweet 16, that would be pretty incredible. So great run by the Wildcats so far. Congratulations to Bruce Weber and his team. And let's get ready to get some excitement. Thursday and Friday is incredible. A couple of the best days in sports. Can't wait. And I'm glad that I'm going to be involved with it right there at courtside.
Well, Stan, enjoy it. I appreciate it. And we'll be checking it out. K-State against UC Irvine. Have fun.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, thank you. That is our good friend Stan Weber, the K-State Wildcat Radio Network. We are coming up on a timeout here. You are listening to the Selection Sunday Special. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I kind of feel like Chris Bolig picked this song on purpose. Because you've been running around like a madman since I've been here.
I've been here since 6:30. I'm just ready to go home.
6:30 a.m., just to be clear.
Yes.
So I got you. But you're running around like a crazy man. You're under pressure. I get it.
Exactly.
Make sure it's... Look, the NCAA selection show is not an easy thing. You're doing it in real time. And when they started announcing the brackets on CBS, I'm trying to do it as they're doing it. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but we try our best. Our coverage today brought to you by the Sports Medicine and Performance Center at the University of Kansas Health System, Shawnee Mission Ford, and Kansas City Asphalt. We've had a lot of guests on today. We had Soren Petro from the program. We had Kevin Keatsman from Between the Lines. We had Stan Weber from the K-State Radio Network. We also jumped into some of the CBS coverage. We jumped into some of the Westwood One coverage. So good stuff over the last 3.5-4 hours here on our Selection Sunday special. The brackets are out. They are locked in. The schools, players, coaches know where they're going for the opening weekend. They know where they could go if they perform well this weekend. Some close to home, some not. I'll just recap since we're just got a little bit of time left, I'll just recap for you where our Big 12 teams are slotted, seeded, and headed. So the best seed for the Big 12 goes to Texas Tech. They get the 3 seed in the West, and they're taking on Northern Kentucky. So that's the best seed of the Big 12 teams. Texas Tech getting a 3 seed out in the West region. A couple of four seeds in Kansas and K-State. Kansas gets the four seed in the Midwest region. They'll be taking on Northeastern on Thursday in Salt Lake City. I believe that's that's Thursday in Salt Lake City. And they would get a chance to win a couple of games and advance to the regional finals here in Kansas City. So Kansas has the opportunity if they can put together a good weekend next weekend in Salt Lake City. So Kansas, a four seed in the Midwest. In the South, actually, and I passed, Iowa State is also in the Midwest region. They're a six seed. They'll take on Ohio State in Tulsa on Friday. So a relatively easy drive for Iowa State fans to get to that game in Tulsa by Friday, Iowa State and Ohio State. Iowa State will also have a chance to advance out of the first weekend and make it to Kansas City. In the South region, that's where we find K-State. They are the four seed. They'll take on the 13 seed UC Irvine. That'll be in San Jose on Friday. So K-State will play Friday in San Jose against UC Irvine. Also in the South, Oklahoma gets the 9 seed. They take on the 8 seed Ole Miss, and that will be Friday in Columbia, South Carolina. The other team to get in from the Big 12 is Baylor. They're in the West as the 9 seed, taking on the 8 seed from Syracuse. So six teams for the Big 12 get in. TCU was the other team that had a chance, and they were the last four. They were in the last four out, according to the selection committee. And I'm just going to ask Chris real quick what our out time is. But Chris is kind of busy trying to handle some things going on here at the studio. So that's the tournament. I gave you the Big 12 seeds and locations. I'll give you the number ones. They should be pretty obvious. The number one seed in every region. Virginia's the one seed in the South. North Carolina, the one seed in the Midwest. Gonzaga is the one seed in the West. And Duke is the one seed in the East. All right, we are just about out of time. 4 hours of special coverage here on the NCAA tournament. Again, all brought to you by the Sports Medicine and Performance Center at the University of Kansas Health System, Shawnee Mission Ford, and Kansas Asphalt. It's time to dance. It's time to fill out your brackets. It's time to find out who's going to win. It's March Madness, and we'll have it covered all day long. Every day, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Thanks to Chris Bohlig. Thanks to Chad Boger for coming in and helping out. This is our selection special. I lost my train of thought for a second. I'll just wrap it up. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.